Hi, welcome to the Night Cafe. My guest this week is stand-up comedian James Pontillo.
Hey.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
No problem.
So this is a show where I love finding out, like, what people think were the things that, like, influenced them the most. Because it's always, like, people have been coming in with the most large variety of stuff. It's been, like, a lot of fun. So you've prepared a list of five things. I don't know what they are.
I did.
We can jump right into it, because usually we'll talk about the things, but a lot of the times other stuff comes up.
Yeah.
So there's no particular order.
Good.
So what's this first thing?
My first topic is 90s teen movies. Because I'm obsessed with them. Every one of them.
That's awesome. Okay, that's a huge...
90s, it doesn't necessarily have to be teen, but in that category, more or less.
So
be
like,
a college movie.
Some examples would be like American Pie.
American Pie, Clueless even. I Know What You Did Last Summer. Great one. Great movie, very underrated.
That is a weird one. Would Scream fall into that?
I mean, it's a 90s. I wasn't a big fan, but yeah, I guess so.
So you
Clueless,
like the cornier ones
Clueless,
a little.
10 Things I Hate About You. Great, great movie. She's All That, which has been mentioned. These have all been mentioned on the Midnight Snack podcast.
Yes, that's your other credit, is host of the Midnight Snack podcast.
Exactly. But those are, I'm a big fan of 90s teen movies. The Craft is a great movie. Craft is a movie,
but
it's about witchcraft, basically. It's this young...
Who's in it?
There we go again. No one's super famous, honestly, which is what's interesting about it, but it's such a good movie. It's about this girl who moves to L.A., and she literally becomes friends with this coven of witches, but they're teenagers, they're in high school. And it's 1995, so they don't have technology to do shit, so I guess they just did witchcraft back then. All the time. And then she gets caught into it, but then she sees that they're doing evil shit, like... They're, like, framing people for, like, doing things that they did, that they burnt, like, put a car on fire, and, like, they're pretty evil, and she wants to get out, and then they possess her. Not that they try to possess her, they send, like, snakes after her, like, she, like, goes takes a shower and snakes start coming out.
That's insane.
Yeah, and it's a really, it's, like, a very dark film, but I don't know, I thought it was very good.
I always love the music in those movies. Like, they all have, like, the same
mm-hmm.
soundtrack, basically. It's, like, Sum 41, like, all that.
Exactly.
Kind
of. I saw it on a flight to L.A. I saw that movie for the first time. It wasn't even, like, one of the in-home movies. It was just on TNT. So, fuck, I got 5 hours to kill. I'm going to devote almost a half of that to this one movie.
Yeah, because with commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
Not to get off topic, one time I was on a flight to L.A. It was a five-hour flight. I watched an entire season of Silicon Valley.
Nice.
It felt like a 3-minute trip.
Yeah,
like,
that's
such a good show.
Yeah.
I got really drunk. I was alone on the plane going to LA, and I got drunk off that little wine. Wine
nice.
Thing, and I watched the entire second season of Silicon Valley.
That's a perfect thing to do on a plane.
Oh my God.
I love watching.
It was the best. It was such a good experience.
Movies I know that are going to be bad, I reserve for planes. Like, I watched Pixels, that Adam Sandler movie, on a plane. I saw Daddy's Home with, like, Ferrell and Wahlberg on a plane.
I saw, what did I see on a plane? Fucking That's My Boy with Andy Samberg
oh
and Adam
my
Sandler.
God. That movie's ridiculous.
I hate the whole movie.
I think
the ending's different. It's definitely different.
That's what I'll always give it points, because if you gave me a million guesses, I could never have guessed that ending.
Yeah. It's so... I mean, you want to talk about out of left field. The ending to That's My Boy is...
I hope at least one poor person watches That's My Boy because of that tease.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a favorite 90s? Like,
I love 10 Things I Hate About You. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's the one
it's
Heath
amazing.
Ledger, right?
Heath Ledger is fantastic. But you got some other people, not just Heath Ledger. You got Julia Stiles, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Who's that other bitch? Not Julia Stiles, but like... the other person in the movie.
Is that the one that's Taming of the Shrew?
Yes, yeah. But it's really, really fucking good. I mean, obviously it came out in 99, so I wasn't in high school yet, because I'm not, you know, that old. But I feel like I would have loved it back then.
That's so funny.
It's a pretty interesting plot, really. Should I go into the plot?
Yeah, it's your favorite.
So, 10 Things I Hate About You, it's about this... First of all, the movie's bullshit, because it takes place in Seattle, and it's literally sunny in every scene, and really nice, and I'm like, this can't be Seattle. Second of all, the high school is fucking gigantic. It looks like a castle, like the high school that they're in. So there's definitely some weird shit about it, but basically there's this one popular girl, like Susie High School, like fucking, like, think of, like, I don't know, Just think of someone.
Everybody has the one popular person.
Yeah. And there's this nerdy guy, but not too nerdy, played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I think his name's Cameron in the movie. But it's Joseph. Think of Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the 90s.
Like, he's got his long hair still.
Mm-hmm. Like, in his own way, he's a babe, you know. But but he's not. But he, you know, he plays this awkward, like, character. He's friends with, like, the AV kid, basically. So basically he likes the main character. What the fuck is her name? Sorry, I'm trying to do this with names.
I love that AV kid was like a nerd stereotype. Like it still is. Like,
but it was still great. Yeah. He would wear like a button down, like tucked into like his khakis. He was like, they didn't say he was Indian, but he was really dark. So I'm guessing he was Indian.
It was like ethnic as you were allowed to get in a 90s teen movie.
Oh yeah. Fuck. Can I look up the name of the character? I don't want to...
Yeah, sure.
Alright, I'm gonna...
Did you ever see Not Another Teen Movie?
No, actually, I heard it was funny, though.
If you like all those, like, you probably would get every, like, reference. Like,
oh, yeah. Hold on, I'm gonna look up her name now.
Those movies got out of control. The parody movies at one point, like, the original two scary movies, I think, hold up, is funny.
Bianca Stratford. Bianca Stratford is her name, and her sister is Kat Stratford. Now, Bianca, like I said... Susie High School, all across the board. Her sister is, like, this real feminist, fucking, like, hates men, hates the establishment. Some would say a cunt. Like, that's... that's like one
Catherine
of the...
was the name and taming of the shrew, too. That's funny.
So, basically, she is just, like, really difficult. She plays soccer. Like, she got suspended from beating up girls. So, they live with a single dad. They don't say what happens to the mom. I'm thinking she dies. They, like, hint towards it, but she's not there. So it's just the dad raising the two of them. And he's super strict, fucking, like, your stereotypical, you know, like, American, like, suburban dad. You know, he's very hard, like, not tough on them. They can't date. Like, every line's like, oh, you're going to get pregnant. What are you going to do? I don't know. I guess they didn't have abortions in Seattle, but...
Or anything.
Yeah, he was very worried. He so definitely... he has an idea. He says, all right, if Kat dates, who's very difficult, you can date. Which is perfect, because she... All right, it gets a little confusing, so I'm going to try...
The most ridiculous logic of all time.
Yeah, which is dumb. That's fucking stupid. Like, oh, if your sister gets pregnant, you can get pregnant. Like, because that's his fear of them dating, so it's, like, fucking weird. So anyway, all right. So the condition is someone has to date Kat. The guy who likes her, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, he's actually competing with another kid who likes her. But he's like this Abercrombie and Fitch model type, more or less. He's like very douchey. You know, he could be a Buddha Holmes today.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No offense, they're great people. Actually, not great people. They're all right. I'm sorry, this is going way off track.
Yeah, maybe don't talk shit about...
I love the whole organization. Okay.
That's never been a wise move for anybody.
And the funny thing is, the guy in the movie's not even a comedian. He's just this... All right, he's this douchey guy. He's like a model. He does, like, underwear modeling and nose modeling. Like, think of stuff like this dumbest thing you could think of. Like, asshole modeling. No, I don't know. I
he's a butthole model.
Yeah, so he likes Bianca also. So they're both competing more or less. But the thing is, neither of them can date her until someone dates Kat. So Cameron and his friend, the AB Indian kid, possibly, hire Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger, this is him in his fucking prime. Like, he's like, plays the ideal bad boy, you know? He fucking, like, they make jokes about him getting left back for 10 years.
Does he have a motorcycle?
Yeah, he has a motorcycle. Alright. So, Cameron basically says, we're going to give this guy, we're going to pay him to go out with Kat. We're going to keep paying him until, you know, they're dating seriously, then I can go out with Bianca, her sister. I just realized I'm telling the whole plot to 10 things I hate about you.
It's so funny, because I've never seen it, but I know exactly where all this is going.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, it's not...
Because I've read the play.
It's so unpredictable. All right, so basically, they don't have any money. Cameron's probably like, oh, we don't have any money. Fucking, what are we going to do? So the other kid who wants to date her, basically, like, hey, he has money, because he's a model in high school. He makes a lot of money, apparently.
Yeah, people pay for pictures of his butthole.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you think one would even find out that you have an attractive enough butthole to model? Like,
oh, I was kidding. He's not a butthole.
I know, but I'm just wondering, how would you even know now? Whatever, keep going with the movie.
That's a great question. Okay, where was it? So, basically, they say, hey, we want you to take her out, so that way her sister's available. And then he's like, well, wait, this doesn't make any sense. Why are you trying to get us together? It doesn't make any sense, not realizing what he's doing. They're like, oh, we just want to be cool by association. Like, you know, we get you the date with her, you know, you'd be cool to us. So he agrees to it. So he starts paying for Heath Ledger to take out Kat. And at first it goes really bad, obviously. It's a fucking teen movie. So it goes really bad. She doesn't want anything to do with him. So like, hey, like one of the reasons is, you know, because you smoke cigarettes and she's very against it. Ooh. So he has to pretend to smoke cigarettes, stop smoking cigarettes, Heath Ledger, more or less. So they do end up going out. And Bianca's somewhat torn between the two guys. Not like she's, like, emotionally torn, but she's just like, oh, I don't know, he's nice, but, like, I like this guy.
She's just as indifferent to both of them.
So their goal is to go to prom with her, basically. They want to go to prom with Bianca because she's a sophomore. Joey is the guy, the rival, basically, and he's a senior. So they go to a couple parties within it, and both guys, remember, Joey, the cool guy, doesn't know that he's competing with Cameron. He has no idea that Cameron actually likes Bianca, which, you know, creates some tension. You have to watch the movie, though. So Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles end up, like, really getting seriously involved with each other. So the dad makes a new deal with them, because the first one worked out so well. He's like, if Kat goes to prom, then Bianca can go to prom. Now, the thing is, okay, it's one thing to date this girl Kat, but she's also very against, like, conformity and social scenes. So what's more conformist than a fucking prom? Like, basically, so Heath Ledger tries to convince her. He's like, what does he say? He's like, oh, well, you know, if you want to do things that people don't expect, people won't expect you to go to prom. She's like, oh, like, what are you trying to do here? You know, what is this all about? And then Heath Ledger gets, like, all mad and shit. So their plan's kind of falling apart. So Heath Ledger has one of the best scenes in 90s movie history, where he has to win Kat back. So while she's playing soccer on the soccer field, he somehow hooks up, like, his boombox to, like, the loudspeakers, and he sings Too Good to Be True throughout, like, the bleachers with, like, security guards chasing him and everything. So he, like, wins her back. So, basically, prom rolls around. Hold on. And Bianca has decided that she hates Joey because... Well, for one, Kat says that they ended up fucking when they were freshmen, which is crazy, because Kat's so anti-conformist, and he's, like, the most popular guy in school, but she's basically, like, after she was with him, that's when she became this, like, rebellious spirit, or something, more or less. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So, basically, at prom, Joey ends up getting really mad at, what's his name, Heath Ledger, because he's like, well, she's here with another guy, Bianca, like, I want my money back, and then Kat finds out. And it becomes, like, a big blowout. And then Bianca ends up punching the kid Joey in the face. Because she's like, oh, for what you did to my sister and everything. So Bianca and Karen end up together at the end, but Heath Ledger still has to figure out his problem. And then it ends in the most, like, anticlimactic way. It's such a good movie. Heath Ledger just goes there. After it was revealed that he was getting paid to take her out, he's like... And he gives her the money that he made doing it. And then she... It's like $1,200. She rips it up and throws it in the water. And basically, he's like, oh, I'm fine with it. I just want to be with you. And then the end scene, she jumps in the water after the money. Which is stupid, because she ripped it up anyway.
Wow, what an asshole. You don't rip up $1,200.
I know. Oh, I thought you were talking about him.
No. What, no, fuck that. $1,200. Remember being in
high school? I made up the amount. I don't know. It was just like, you saw hundreds stacked in there. But anyway, that's the movie. But it's like a joke that he jumps in the water.
How many times
do
you think you've seen it? Because you just, like, scene for scene described that whole movie.
Oh, I've seen it like 4 or 5 times.
I was expecting higher.
No, not even that much. 4 or 5 times throughout my life. Like,
that's hilarious.
I watch it every 5 years.
I like how everybody in those movies is clearly 30. Like,
yeah.
They don't look like high school kids at all.
I definitely left stuff out of that movie, too, but it's good enough.
I'm sure there was a subplot or two.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But that is a phenomenal movie, 10 Things I Hate About You.
90s teen movies.
I can basically very quickly describe She's All That, because She's All That is basically 10 Things I Hate About You.
I
it's the same
I
thing.
It's the same. That's another
She's
one.
All That is Freddie Prinze Jr. Basically has to, basically in a nutshell, has to transform the nerdy girl into a hot girl.
Yeah.
It's like a different plot, it's the same concept.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
It's like morally they're doing the right thing, but it's so shallow, it's like doesn't even matter.
Yeah. I can't believe you haven't seen Not Another Teen Movie.
I have not. Now, how do we, in terms of segments, how do we know when one's done, one topic?
It usually, at a certain point, there's like an ending, like a clear, we've covered.
Okay, well, let's do one more on this topic. I Don't Know What You Did Last Summer, I think is one of the most underrated horror movies ever. I think it's so fucking good, and it gets such a bad rap. I'm going to look up its Rotten Tomatoes score.
I would guess the first one, 41.
The regular score, the tomato meters.
Yeah, the critic score, not the audience score.
Yeah, the audience, it's always different, the two. The two are very rarely the same.
41, I'm guessing.
For which one?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
No, for which, for the critic score?
For the critic score, and that's generous. I'm just saying, because
I'm going to say 55 from the audience, and like, I would say 32 from, and what do you say for the audience?
61.
Okay, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Rotten Tomatoes. Tomato meter, 36%, audience 40%. So it was universally not like.
That's a.
You know what the thing is? It's a very good concept for a movie with very fucking bad acting. Like, the acting is bad.
Well, that's
it's Sarah, so obviously, like, they're not scared. Like, they're just acting scared.
It's Sarah Michelle Gellar, right?
Yeah, it's Sarah Michelle Gellar and Jennifer Love Hewitt, who I think is great. She was the only good one in that movie. And literally, I don't know anyone else. Like, no one famous.
She had that Buffy money at that point, so
yeah,
she definitely.
She didn't give a fuck. No, she was literally the one where, like, a killer was coming. She'd be like, oh, no. Like, she
was. Well, that's how she was on Buffy, too, though.
And, you know, and Jennifer Love Hewitt at that time was really trying to make it, so her acting was so much better. Like, you could tell that she fucking trained.
She totally didn't make it. Did she end up on, like, a CBS one-hour drama, and that was, like, the best
Yeah, I don't know why Jennifer Love Hewitt isn't famous today. Like, why didn't she do anything?
Probably because her biggest movie is this.
Yeah, but she's a good actress. But anyway, I Know What You Did Last Summer very quick. It's about these fucking teen kids. Well, it starts off of a shot. It's like the sun's about to go down, and they're on top of, like, a mountain over an ocean, more or less. And it's just this guy ends up, like, looking down. And he's, like, writing a note, presumed to be a suicide note. And then it cuts there to these kids, and, like, whatever, they're hanging out. They're fucking kids. I don't know. They're high school kids. Which is a theme of this topic.
Is this the one that has Johnny Galecki from The Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, he gets killed. Spoiler alert.
They all kind of get killed. That's like the point. There's a couple, maybe one or two, but that's how horror movies work. Yeah, like
no, all the friends stay intact in this one.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I thought they all got at least a few.
Yeah, because there's a second one. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, which sucked.
So basically, I don't remember this part. The guy goes around killing people that they know, not the people involved. Everybody involved.
No. The guy kills the ones who run over. I don't want to, like, spoil it, but it's basically his, like, best friend, more or less.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it turns out that he was going to end up killing himself anyway. So it's not even, like, a big deal, more or less.
Yeah, horror movies really have a hard time nailing.
I thought it was not a terrible plot. I thought it was a good plot. I know. I thought the suspense was really good in that movie.
I
overspoke before when I said it was one of the greatest horror movies.
Yeah, I think it is.
It was good.
It's
though.
Definitely one of the horror movies of all time.
I thought Get Out was fucking better than I thought it was
so
going to be.
Good.
I went into there with really high expectations and it beat them.
It's unbelievably.
It's
good.
Not. A movie like that, I feel like it's so easy to be stupid, a movie like that. It really could have very easily, but they just kept it. They didn't try anything, like, crazy, because it's already a crazy concept. They didn't need to make it crazy.
Yeah, and at a certain point.
And they knew that. I think Jordan Peele, like, knew exactly what he was doing.
And it's genuinely funny in certain scenes.
Yeah.
Like, there's really, it's so well made.
But the concept is so crazy. It's just such a weird.
Yeah, they
because I thought that the people that he saw there, like the maid there, I thought they were hypnotized, which I think would have been like what they were trying to get you to think.
Don't spoil it.
Okay, fine. But they're not hypnotized, that's all I'll say. That in that movie, the Belko Report project, looks fucking great.
Oh, especially because James Gunn wrote that, and he's such a...
No, the Belko Experiment, that's such a crazy concept. You think of some people, like, how, like, obsessed they are with their jobs and, like, office life, it's such a crazy concept.
Yeah, James Gunn is so good at writing movies, too. He wrote Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's a good movie.
the Dawn of the Dead remake and Slither. He wrote one of my top five favorite movies of all time. You ever see Super with Rainn Wilson?
No, I haven't.
It's on Netflix. It's like Kick-Ass if Kick-Ass was like a really dark indie movie.
Oh, he has like superpowers?
No, he's... Kevin Bacon plays this gangster, and yeah. Rainn Wilson from The Office is married to Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Bacon's a drug dealer, he steals her, so he becomes the Crimson Bolt. He just gets a fucking wrench and puts on a costume, and it's so bloody and shit, and Ellen Page plays his sidekick. It's so good.
From Juno, Ellen Page?
Yeah.
I like that movie. I thought it was overrated. When it came out, it was fucking, like, hyped up.
It didn't deserve Oscar nominations.
Yeah, it was alright. First of all, the reality of the situation is not there with that movie. Like, she's a teen, like, high schooler who's fucking pregnant. And they make them, the parents are just like, oh, well, that's cool.
You never had a pregnant person in your high school?
No.
We only had one, I think, in mine, but my two uncles went to school in the middle of New Jersey.
It was in Jersey when they went to high school?
Yeah. And they told me that it used to be... It was almost like a fashion statement at one point. Like, they had, like, 16, 17.
Yeah. That makes sense, actually.
That shit happens. There's a girl... When I was a senior, she was a freshman.
Pregnant? Wow. That's fucking bananas.
14. That's an...
I guess this relates to 90s teen movies.
It does. Well, pregnancy would be a topic that came up in those.
Oh, did we discuss Clueless?
Not in
Clueless
death.
Is really fucking good, I think. I want to see the Rotten Tomatoes.
I bet that one's high. That one's
yeah, that's a pretty well-known movie.
That's remembered as good. That's Paul Rudd.
And can anyone tell the plot of it? No, because there is no plot.
I never saw it.
Yeah, Paul Rudd's not only in it, he's like really fucking good. And he looks exactly the same in 1995 as he does now. Maybe he obviously aged a little bit.
Yeah, but he's one of those people who's just got that like weird perma-youth face.
Yeah. I'm gonna guess over 70s for both.
I like
it. Wow, it's 81% tomato meter, 76 audience score. That's like a solid B.
No, that's a certified fresh movie.
I think it was good Clueless because I mean there wasn't really a plot to it. I think the acting was good. I mean it's just like a feel good movie, you know?
Yeah.
All the way through. It's like a girl everyone thinks is fucking stupid. I mean you all know girls like that, but she ends up like, shallow, not stupid, sorry, that's what I was like. She, like, is fucking shallow, but she ends up actually making a difference. And the differences she makes are very fucking incremental. They're not really big differences at all. It's like she got, like, a new court for, like, a tennis court at their high school. But for some reason, it's just a good movie. It's just good acting. So I would recommend it.
All right, cool. 90s teen movies, a big part of your life.
Yes.
Alright, cool. I think that covers that.
Yeah.
Let's see what the next thing we got is.
80s teen. No, I'm kidding. Could you imagine? Wait, can I have the beer, actually?
Yeah, for sure. I'll grab it. Here, you keep this going. Tell them what your next thing is.
So my next thing I actually decided to do is comedy in general. Just general comedy. This is a comedy podcast.
It's labeled comedy. Yeah, it's kind of like this interview thing I have. I mostly have comedians on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, switch it up a little bit, too, though.
Have you had any none?
My last guy of a guest was an improviser / rapper.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been doing comedy about 2 years now, and I've definitely seen changes just over time. Like, things, I look back on a notebook I have when I first started, and the jokes, I'm like, what the fuck? These jokes are awful. Like, this is, how did I think this was good? And I would go up there, like, a lot with these same jokes, so... I think it's a good thing. I think that's part of the creative process, more or less.
It's part of learning, for sure. Like, you have to be bad for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's some comedians I've seen that have been bad for a very long time.
It just sucks when you see people that aren't getting better. Like...
Aren't getting better, yeah, exactly. And you know they're not going to get better. Like, there's some... No, it's true. I'm not trying to be a dick. I don't think I'm outrageously funny, but there's people that are just not funny. Like, they just don't have it. Their delivery's off, like, they just don't have funny thoughts.
No.
And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to what thoughts do you have. Like, people don't have funny thoughts. They see things very basically. But I think some people confuse comedy with just riffing in general and just talking about things.
Watching as much stand-up as we watch, it's so easy to tell, like, what's hack now. Like,
yeah.
I've seen fucking 9,000 versions of that joke, or like, there's like buzzwords now that like if you say it, people instantly just are like, oh, this guy's a fucking idiot. Like,
yeah, that's why I try to never do politics on stage.
If
he's done so much.
Trump is a big buzzword right now.
I never talk about him on stage.
People don't.
I don't even. I'll maybe make one joke. Like, I was on stage the other night and I called this the unplanned pregnancy presidency, and that's it. Because that's not super negative, it's just kind of like, what the fuck, and, you know? So that's why, but I usually don't voice my opinion.
Yeah.
On social media either, I just don't positives to doing it. It's so hack, it's done by, like, every other comic.
Tinder.
Exactly, yeah.
How much money would it take to suck a dick?
Yeah.
Exactly. I've seen, like, a million new comedians get up there and think that they have the funniest concept.
Yeah, I'm usually not a huge fan of Tinder jokes either, but sometimes they're executed well.
There's certain things, that, like, because that's basically, like, dating now. Like, everybody, that's how everyone does it, so it's gonna come up, but
yeah, you rarely hear someone like, oh, I met her, like, in a bar or something.
Yeah,
like, on Tinder. And it's so crazy, because 2 years ago, if you heard, or, like, even 3 years ago, if you heard someone met someone on Tinder, you'd be like, what the fuck, weirdo? Like, you're gonna get kidnapped and killed. It was, like, such a crazy thing. Now it's everyone. Some sort of, like, I mean, I have friends who met straight through online dating, and they've been together since.
Yeah. It's a lot of people now. But so it's gonna come
up. But to do jokes about it is tough. I mean, I don't do them, because I think they're just too tough to do.
I like, in comedy, the people that lose their fantasy football league and then have to try it for the first time. That happens a ton.
Yeah. I've done a bunch of jokes about, like, how on Tinder I was swiping the wrong way. And I kept doing, yeah, but that's all it got, what you just did. Like, it never went on beyond that. It was like, and then, that is kind of the interesting thing about comedy, when you're doing this long, you really do have to decide which of your ideas to kill, more or less. Like, you just sacrifice. I mean, I only have, realistically, this amount of time I can't do, even though I like this bit personally. It's too hard to work. It's not making people laugh. I have to try something else.
And for the people that don't do comedy that hear this, like, for every minute that a comedian has, they've thrown away, like, 20.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You just try just some crap. The stupid New York Times wrote that article where they were like, oh, it's so depressing. It's because
I think that article is not accurate whatsoever.
No, that was somebody who was, like, weird and bitter about open mics and saw maybe, like, three bad ones. And even if you do see bad ones.
But if you look at all of his, like, reviews, they were like the 4:30 climate mic, like this random mic no one's ever heard of, like this, like 1 o'clock, like it was all just mics that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, they're like nightmare mics in general.
Yeah, like who would do a 4:30 mic? Like, I'm sure I've done them, but like they're never big crowds.
They sent an email to everybody saying that it would be at 6:30, and then at like 4:15 we're like, oh wait, sorry, it's the 4:30. So like they would have had like that, they would have had the right people there for it. And they fucked that up.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me personally, I studied screenwriting in film. So, like, I work kind of, I freelance in film, trying to move up there. And I think that's why it's so easy for me to take comedy, you know, to not be so, like, obsessed with, like, killing it necessarily, knowing that there's a process. Because it's the same process, like, when you're writing for film, writing for TV, it's, like, that same kind of process.
Yeah.
It's just, you have to pay your dues. You know, you have to do open mics and a lot of them, or you're not going to get better. And I've seen it. Even if I go a week without doing a mic, and then I like do a show or another mic, I'm not that good. I'm best when I keep doing them.
Yeah, for sure. It's like going to the gym or something.
Yeah,
like you have to just keep doing it to see results.
Yeah, I mean, there will be times where I don't go for a little while, and I still do well, but it's very rare. It doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, you got to get in like a groove. Like there's definitely like a zone you have to be in.
Yeah. Exactly. And unfortunately, like, crowds do matter a lot. I mean, like that crowd at Broadway the other night was a great, I mean, it was a bringer, so obviously it was going to be a good crowd. That was a great crowd.
Yeah, people were happy. They were, like, all listening and, like, happy to be there.
Yeah, there were no phones or anything. Like, no one, you know, no one bombed up there. Like, no one really. But I know, like, a lot of those acts I saw, and some of mine, too, would have not done well at an open mic, but they did really well at a show like that.
Yeah, well, because the regular people are so nice and not jaded. It's, like, so amazing to get regular people listening.
Oh, I love performing for regular people. They're so, like, you see the happiness in their face.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's just comics, you see, like, their fucking soul's been sucked out of them.
Yeah.
Like, this person will never laugh, no matter what I say.
they're not trying to hide it either.
That's like the worst. To me, it's the worst when a comic is on their phone when you're doing your set.
Yeah, fuck that.
It's one thing to check your phone second, but I've seen comics, I don't want to name names, talk after the show, just been like on their phone the whole time. Like, good comics that we know. I'm like, come on, like, fucking, I came all the way here, whatever. Like, we're all trying to do this together. You can't just listen for 4 minutes.
Yeah, it sucks. That's, every time I host a mic, I'm always, like, surprised.
And I was going to say, as an audience member, I like listening because I try to learn from other people, too.
Yeah, well, you can learn something from everybody, good or bad. Like, you're like, oh, I'm never going to do that. Or it seems, the thing I'm noticing recently is, like, between this or, like, roast jokes or...
I want to delve into that a little bit, too. I love roast joke writing.
90% of it is just making it make sense. So many people write something that only makes sense to them.
All the time.
And it's just, that's like...
And it's so easy to... I mean, I'll bring up Joe, because he used to be really bad at roast joke writing. Because he would say jokes where, like, I would get them, like, but no one's going to get that. Like, he would make, like, wrestling references... Do you know wrestling or no?
I know the basics of wrestling.
And I'd be like, all right, Joe, that's funny. This person looks like that, but no one knows who that is. It's not going to land in a room. And he's like, no, I'll do it. Now his jokes are very specific. Like, he thinks of them now. Like, they're funny.
And he also learned
the setup punch method. Like, because he's so used to riffing on stage. Not in a bad way, but just... kind of going off on his own thing.
It really is.
You can't do that for roast jokes.
101, you have to just set up, punch. You can't make them think. It's so traditional. Like,
exactly. Everyone, we're kind of, I don't know if a tight-knit community is the right way, but we all know each other. We all know that, whatever, this person, like, has, like, a dead parent, this person's dad left them, this person's sister died,
yeah,
they're an alcohol. We know that. We want to hear good jokes about it. Like, that.
Yeah,
kind of mind.
You can get really specific. I'm worried about this one.
It'll be close, but I mean, he pitched me his jokes. You pitched me yours. He pitched some last night, but he's still in the thinking process. I mean, I told him I wouldn't tell yours to him, so obviously I'll.
Yeah,
tell
no,
him
I don't want
to. It kills the fun one, and it does nothing. It doesn't. You can't do anything with the information.
Yeah, no, I don't want to know. It's fun hearing that. Like, I like when they're good. Like, it's fun hearing they're good.
I do. Like, about yourself? Oh, man. I feel like you've had opponents have not done well against you, though.
Jill did good.
Yeah, but she's really good. She was the champ, the Fight Club champ.
Yeah, at one point. But that was a good one. And then Bobby had one or two that landed.
Bobby's pretty good at it.
Yeah, Bobby made the mistake of doing that thing where there was one that everyone's like, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and momentum's big in roast joke writing, too.
That's why I always, like, I'll have one I know works up top and then a good closer, but the stuff in the middle is usually, like, just okay. Like, I'm not thrilled.
Yeah, that's roast joke. I mean, if you're going to do a roast pod, you want to jump off to that quick start. You want to definitely have, like, the momentum.
And end big.
Yeah.
You want them to remember, because that's what they'll remember, like, is if you save the best one for last.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks when you do one right in the middle that you didn't know was going to be the best one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is one thing, the unpredictability of. And that's why I think for roast joke writing, it's so important to pitch something to people.
Yeah, you need it.
You can't go in
people.
There, like, blind, like, not knowing, like, what anyone thinks of them. It's just, usually if I have three, like, say I tell three people and everyone says that's a great joke, it's 99% of the time, it kills in the room.
That's what I'm happy about, is I've read the ones for Joe. I have like, 12 of them, I think. And I've read them to, like, 6 people, and there's at least 4 or 5 that all 6 were like, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
That, and that's really all.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta look at the opponent's weaknesses, too, you know. It's harder sometimes.
It's for once, you know him so well, he's the coach.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I could fucking write 20 good roast jokes about him before this podcast ends. Like, it doesn't... it doesn't...
We're both on Sunday night. This is a good time to... That's why...
I've never met my opponent. This is the second time in a row I haven't met my opponent. Don't know anything about them.
It's a totally different game. Really.
It is, yeah.
That's kind of how I feel, because, like, I was looking ahead at, like... It's bracketed, so, like, I was just... doing light research on the people I didn't know very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard to not write just looks like jokes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I try, you know, you give it a shot.
And it's hard to do looks like jokes when you don't know their personality, because you could be, like, saying
exactly.
something that's not true at all about them if people know them.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I love a good... Oh, there's nothing better than a good roast battle.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there is, sorry. Like, that rap battle was fucking unbelievable.
Stephen Bowles had one of my favorite lines ever. He's where he's just like, I'm gonna take your style, make it better and bigger.
Yeah,
don't mess with me, because I'm a crazy-ass Stephen. Shout out to Stephen Bowles.
Really,
that was hilarious.
Yeah, it really inspired Patrick Haggerty.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't care, honestly. I doubt he's listening. If he does, what is he gonna...
Yeah, no,
basically, a comic just said the N-word. Totally an offensive... It was an offensive joke without the N-word.
It wasn't a joke. There was some words, and then that one word.
Yeah. Basically, the joke was, this person's so awful, you'd think they weren't N-word.
Yeah.
I don't think... Maybe in the 1800s that was acceptable, but I don't think that's been acceptable talk.
Are you serious? Like,
oh my, yeah. Like an open mic in 1864?
Like, that's the White House Correspondents Dinner in, like, 1820.
Yeah.
They're just like...
And probably next year.
Yeah, in the upcoming one.
No, but Trump... politics is actually one of the topics. Can we go back? Can we switch around? It's gotta be, like, one topic, one topic.
No, we can... Gotta weave in.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say Trump's not going to the White House Correspondents Dinner. And you know why, because he fucking doesn't want to get made fun of.
No, it sucks, and that's like the big professional roast. It sucks.
I know. I bet he ends up going.
He, I don't know. I hope it's like, did you see South Park this season?
No, I stopped watching, like, season 7.
Oh, there's a, Mr. Garrison is president now. He's their Trump.
I saw a few new ones. I don't like how they just do, like, stuff going on in the news.
Yeah.
They don't come up with characters. They used to have great characters, like fucking Pip, Mr. Hanky. Like,
oh,
Big
that
Gale.
Was like vintage. Yeah.
Like, what a crazy concept. A cartoon that came out in the 90s that takes place in, like, the suburbs of Colorado came out with a large homosexual character, and they called him Big Gay Al. And he acts really gay. And he's like, it's just fucking. It was such a creative show at one point. I mean, the Cripple Fight episode.
I love South Park right up until now. Like, I don't think they fell off.
No, it's not. It's just they're doing something different that I'm not crazy about.
Yeah, I don't. The continuity stuff is, like, they're not standalone episodes now. Like, each season is one long story.
Yeah.
So, like,
South Park was, when we were kids, pretty much the edgiest. Because porn doesn't, like, you have to go to the store. Like, it was pretty much the edgiest thing you could watch, when we were younger.
South Park was, I wasn't allowed to watch.
I wasn't until I was, like, 8, maybe 9.
No, way after that. My parents were, like, way against that shit.
Because it was really bad for kids.
It is.
I learned what a lesbian was from South Park, and I'm fucking stupid. I was just convincing my parents I'm gonna watch it, and then I asked what a lesbian was, and obviously it was from South Park. What else would it be from? So it totally killed, like, and then it went off the air for a little while because it was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a phenomenal show, though.
Yeah, it's really good.
What are we talking about?
We were talking
Trump.
About comedy, but that's what we're talking about now and stuff. Wait, so you've been doing stand-up?
2.5 years. Me and Joe started together. I don't know why he...
Did you know him before?
Stand-up? Yeah, we were friends before. We were not like we are now. That sounds really good.
How'd you guys meet each other?
Through mutual friends. Like, someone I grew up with on my block who lives on was friends with, like, this other group, the Greencast group, and Joe was in that group. So, yeah, we would always see each other. We were always, like, fucked up or, like, really stoned when we saw each other. But we never, like, we would talk, but, like, quick banter. Like, we never really hung out unless everyone else was, like, there was a group. And then one day he just asked me if I wanted to do an open mic. Like, I don't even know why he asked only me. But I'm like, yeah, sure. I kind of always thought about it, like, doing mics and stuff and trying to get up there. Yeah, and literally since then we've been doing mics.
That's cool.
The podcast is pretty recent, though.
Yeah, within the last year.
No, we started ours, me and him, in October.
Nice.
He's had his other one since, not the summer that just passed, the summer before that. Like,
yeah,
almost 2 years.
They're
up
to, like, 80-something episodes.
No, they're past 100.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I've been on it. I was on it a lot more earlier in the middle. I haven't been on it recently. I was on 2 weeks ago and the last time in September. I really don't. It's a fine listen. I don't really want to be on.
Well, if people haven't heard the Midnight Snack recently, there's been a development that I love on this show where you the relationship between you and Joe is becoming like strained, and the more you guys fight,
me and Joe's relationship is 100%. Have you ever seen Tommy Boy? Think of David Spade and Chris Farley. That's our relationship 110%.
They are And it's
Joey's David Spade, I'm Chris Farley.
It's getting more tense as time goes on.
And yeah, it is. It's
like,
definitely
you can hear Joe getting more and more frustrated. It's the most compelling thing that, like,
yeah,
here that he's getting just... He's
yeah,
so done. I love it.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, I think he enjoys that I bring the guest every week.
Yeah.
Because he's somewhat socially awkward. I feel like for him to ask people, and, like, people don't know him, not to toot my own horn, but people definitely know me a lot better. Because I, like, do more mics, I do the roast more, so people definitely...
Yeah, you're on the roast all the time.
Yeah, Matt literally asked me a lot. I mean, I don't know why exactly. I think because at first, I wanted to do it a lot, I would kind of message him, like, hey, you know, can I... I've asked him for opponents before, not even called them out. I've said, like, hey, can I face this person? Like, I think it'd be cool to face. Like, Dan Wicks, I faced, and I just asked, like, can I just face? I didn't know why. I think it's because everyone's like, oh, he's great. Like, he's really good. And he is really good.
I think he's in my future.
Yeah,
I was looking at the bracket.
He's fantastic. And I'm just like, hey, I don't care if I lose. I just want to fucking face this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think since then, that's just put me on a lot. I find it, like, it's a compliment. I don't think he'd put me on if I wasn't good.
Oh, no.
Although he puts Hunter White on a lot, but...
But I think that's a...
But he's almost like a parody, yeah.
Like, people like it. Like, no one's mad when that happens, like...
Yeah, I mean, he's just... I don't care, I'll show him put together. He's just a wildly unlikable human being, Hunter White. But he gets a lot of spots, I give him credit. I mean, he's always... I mean, I don't want to say what he does to get them... But he's always, I always see him on lineups, like, at least, like, twice a week.
It's fine. Fight Club is, like, the sanctuary for unlikable comics.
Mm-hmm.
There's all of them gather there.
But it is, we were talking about it yesterday, me and Joe, it is growing, Fight Club. It's definitely getting bigger. Newer, comics that I didn't think would ever do it are doing it now. It's like...
Yeah, this week has a fun, if anybody wants to come out, I'll put this out in time, Sunday night, 10 o'clock.
Really, like, when I think of it, it's ultimately, I don't know if a networking event is a way to put it, because that sounds stupid, but that's really what it is. Most of our guests have been from Fight Club.
I've met so many people through it.
Because you talk to them beforehand, you talk to them if you're going to face them, it's just like a way to get to, like, know people.
And people who you don't know, if you do good, will, like, introduce themselves to
you
and stuff.
Yeah, I like the whole, like, there's call-outs at the end, so any comic could call out. Like, say someone does well, you just call someone out.
Yeah, be like, I could take them down.
Yeah. There's judges, like, officials. It's, like, a fun time. He said when he started, Matt, it was just, like, unorganized. It was just, like, shit. And I give him a lot of credit. He made it really good.
I was talking with, people filled out brackets for this tournament.
Yeah, which I think is better than the way it used to be. I like that.
Yeah, it's fun to hear what people thought, like,
Because beforehand, Billy would make odds every week, and they were just bullshit, like, made-up odds. Like, this person's, like, 4-1. Like, there's no way to fucking know. I think brackets is more interesting. It's no ranking. It's just every comic's equal, and you just pick.
I was talking to, I think Ben Switzer said he had himself losing to Sam Stevens in the finals, so just in case he could tank it for a perfect bracket money. Like,
Sam Stevens is another great roaster.
I've seen him, like, kill there.
Yeah. I faced him, he was one of my first opponents, but he was not as good as he usually is. I really lucked out when I faced him.
He'll show up in costumes sometimes.
Yeah,
like...
he didn't. I think I ended up talking to him later on in the week, and he said that, like, the night he faced me, he literally had a spot, like, 30 minutes from then, and he, like, was focused on that. And you could tell, like, his jokes were not very good against me. And he still almost beat me. Like, he still went to overtime.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But yeah, when he's on, he's virtually impossible to beat. I mean, he comes in, he's coming with Wonder Woman costumes, with Snow White costumes, like this big, like, large bald man.
He's like
he's
stripped
Speedo.
Down. Yeah,
he's
stripped down with that other guy.
Well, it used to be he always wore a Speedo, and now he, like, kind of...
Only does it sometimes.
Yeah, he wore a diaper once.
It is winter.
Yeah, he's worn a diaper before, like, with, like, a little American flag coming out of it.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are characters at Fight Club. That's another thing that's crazy. Not crazy, but, like, there are people who play a certain character.
Do you have, a favorite comic?
In general?
Yeah, just in general. Like,
famous, or...?
Yeah, like, we've been talking about people...
Oh, I mean, my inspiration is Louis C.K. I try to base a lot of my mannerisms off of the way he words things. Now, I don't... Yeah, I don't copy him, but
He can say anything he wants. It's crazy. Like, Louis is out of nowhere.
And if you want kind of inspiration from Mr. Comic, I saw open mics that he did in the 90s, and he really was not funny. He was very awkward. He was just like, ugh. Like, he wasn't that good. And it shows you really have to put the work in, which I'm sure he did.
There was
He's another one who gave up comedy for like 8 years. So he gave up comedy a long, not eight, maybe two, like maybe 5 years. It was something like a long number. He gave up comedy, he was done, and somehow got back into it.
He was one of Conan's original writers, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, I studied screenwriting in school, was my major, and obviously there's no fucking, like, screenwriting jobs. Like, you can't, you have to do other things around it. And comedy links so well to it, because I can use a lot of the stuff I learned in comedy to write different jokes.
And
even though it's a different structure.
And it's a showcase of your writing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's at the end of the day, it's like, oh, this person's a good writer, like.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really hard to, I mean, just for example, to look at a person and write something that they look like that's also really clever. Like, it can't just be like, oh, you look like this famous person. It's just like, that's not funny.
Yeah, there needs to be some sort of twist.
Yeah. But you've had some great run, great roast jokes.
I've been having fun with it.
Yeah, it is fun. If you're a good writer, it's fun. Like, I hear so many comics who do it and say, oh, like, I hate writing jokes. I'm like, you're a fucking comic.
You're in the wrong fucking business.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy. When people say, oh, I'm not a good writer, like, I always tell people, do Fight Club, and if they're like, oh, I'm not a good writer, it's like, they fucking...
Have another beer, by the way.
Yeah, we're about to take a break anyway.
Oh, what are we in? What time?
Like, 45.
Holy shit, time really does fly.
Yeah, so I'm sure comedy will keep coming up sporadically, but that was the second topic. We're going to take a quick break.
All right. Yeah.
Cool, and we're back. What's the next thing we're going to be talking about?
From my list?
Yeah.
Alright, holy shit. I did want to get into politics a little bit, only because I never talk about it on, like, the podcast,
it's like
on Facebook.
You, like, really care about, though.
Yeah, and I'm not, well, I don't want to, like, bash anyone, more or less, but I do think it's interesting the state of affairs the world is in today. More or less.
Well, for sure, everything got, like,
I wonder
crazy.
How our enemies, you know, like, North Korea, countries like that, I wonder how they view, like, the whole Trump presidency. I feel like, do they think, like, all right, he's really stupid, we can do anything, or do they think he's fucking crazy and we shouldn't mess with him because he'll blow our country up? Like, I don't, I wonder what they're thinking right now.
Yeah, I have no idea what the common, like, what the collective attitude
is. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Now.
I mean, personally, and people usually disagree with me, but I think the Russia thing's a little overblown. It's definitely shitty that there were hacks, but I don't think there was a collusion between the Trump campaign.
I don't pretend like I know anything anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't know 100%.
Like, that's absolutely, like, at this point, like, even if I did, I don't think there's a way to know. Like, even if you're
the funny thing about politics is, there's so much sketchy shit that goes on in modern politics, but it ends up being who can expose the other person's sketchiness better, more or less.
Yeah, like, it's all House of Cards stuff.
Yeah.
I know so little about
saying, not saying something sometimes is better than just saying something. Because, like, if you look at this election, the whole argument against Trump is everything that, like, he said, like, on the nose. But with Hillary, it's almost what we didn't know. Like, what was on her email server? Like, what was she saying to, like, in this tape? You know, like, what was she saying to this group? And I think that hurts more. Because I think, all right, whatever Trump said, you've heard it. Like, there's no more or less secrets. And I think people really hate when they feel like a politician's hiding something. They do. They hate it. And Trump doesn't give off that impression because he's always on Twitter. He's always fucking speaking his mind.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I saw someone, shout out to Brandon Wardell, someone tweeted the other day, I hated that the first president who says dude all the time fucking sucks.
Does Trump say dude?
Yeah.
I don't know. I never heard him.
That's one of my favorite things I've heard about him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a fascinating character, and it's so funny because everyone he surrounds himself with are all these fucking suits, and then there's just him. It's so crazy. Like, he's so the opposite of professional, or what you'd expect from
like
the presidency.
One of the guys he talks on the phone with believes that Sandy Hook was a hoax.
Yeah.
And actors.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Alex
yeah.
Jones, but
I don't take that too seriously because Alex is not in the White House. He's just,
no,
but they're friends.
Even
yeah,
the fact that he has a direct phone line, like they could just talk about what he
yeah.
thinks is happening, and how do you?
Yeah,
what an insane thing to think.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I mean, look, the way I like to think of it, it's been 5 weeks. We're still here, so
yeah, like so much longer. We have three years and 11 months to go.
I know. It is crazy. It is crazy because he was truly, and it's early, but he was truly a fucking really risky choice. Like, I'm surprised. It shows what people are going through. It shows, like, the state of mind for this country, how fed up they are with things, because he's really risky.
I think it felt like way less of a risk to people in the middle of the country because they're like, well, here's the thing. If we get attacked, we're the last people who have to deal with it. We have all
the guns. Well, I mean, he is, and I'm not going to attack him because it's just done. But by definition, he is what unqualified means. He has no political experience.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's like the definition of unqualified.
I think it's crazy. There's so much about politics that I think is nuts. Like,
yeah.
Most of my political opinions are shaped by, like, punk bands, so they're all pretty, like...
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I heard this thing once where somebody was like, you can't have majority rule in a mental institution.
Yeah,
like,
that's
absolutely
true.
They're not
going
to vote for the right thing to do. Or, like, the fact that someone who has a, like, 9-year political degree has the exact same vote as some guy from Arkansas who's just, like, half retarded, like...
Yeah, exactly. It is. There should be fucking, like, litmus test to vote. I really do. Basic questions. A round of 10 basic questions. You should know.
You should be wild. Yeah, like, it's like, you don't want to take away rights, but there does seem to be, like...
Yeah, absolutely.
We would like you to have some basic level of, like, are you a crazy person or not?
Yeah, that's absolutely
like,
right.
Like, have you ever held up a sign that had a swear word on it at a protest?
Yeah, exactly.
You're first. Because that means you don't... I don't know.
Everyone protests. That's like,
I know, but
on both sides. There's not one side, but like it's just fucking.
I try.
You would think with all the but you would think with all the technology we have today, people would find a better ways to get their cause than making fucking signs and standing in the street.
Yes, that's
like I can't believe we still do that. I'm not even criticizing them. I just can't believe that's still a form.
It's an important right, and I'm glad people protest. But like, it just seems like so many of them just don't do anything.
Well, it depends what your target is. I don't really get what all these anti-Trump protests... I mean, I know why people don't like what he's doing, but the protests aren't getting anything done.
I would love for them to. It just seems like...
Yeah, but it's just... I don't know. I mean, it's so weird, because one of the big... You don't see protests during elections. You'd think there would be protests during elections.
Well, it seems like... He's going to start campaigning, like, next week. The second people don't want to hear about him... As soon as he can shut about his margin of victory, he's going to work on the next one. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely times, I think, where... I think the media does like to paint him as this awful bad guy, because it does create an interesting story. You know what I mean? I don't think everything he does is bad, but the good shit he does for people, you know, like the amount of money he gives to charity, you're never going to see that on the news... Because it's not good for their image of him, like...
Yeah, he's the villain.
Yeah, they have to paint him as the... And I'm not saying he's not a little bit, or even mostly, but, you know, they have to keep painting him as, like, awful.
The news is bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's so crazy, just, like, just to read a fucking headline. Like, to hear someone's speech or something, and then to read a headline, it's so different than what the person was actually saying. It's so weird, because, like... I think when Trump first got inaugurated, he gave, like, a whole speech, policy speech. And I guess he didn't talk about the wall. So the headline on CNN was just, Trump backs down from talking about the wall. Not even mentioning that he said, good or bad, anything else. All you're in your mind, you're going to think of is, oh, is he giving up on the wall? Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's just, like, whatever. I mean, that's, like, a small example, and it doesn't matter that much, that example specifically, but it just shows, like, how headlines matter.
It's a big part of stuff, because it's countless how many times you'll see someone on Facebook share an article with a crazy headline,
and
they obviously didn't read what it actually says.
I mean, even if you listen, how many people do you think if you're watching CNN or something, or NBC, and it's on your screen, you see this, like, big fucking headline, how many people do you think actually listen to the whole back and forth? Probably not. It's probably on mute. Like, I know at my house, it's always on mute, or, like, no one's watching it. It's just, like, people making dinner. It's just there, and you see it. And mentally, oh, all right, so this must be what reality is.
Yeah, it's like 10% of people are probably, like, dialed into what they're saying.
It is. I think people need to get more involved, more or less. I don't necessarily think they need to be opinionated, but they definitely need to know. It's so shocking how little people know.
It's hard. It's, like, it's hard to stay, know what information to pay attention to. And then it's just depressing.
Yeah, like, I've always been really independent politically. That's just how I am. I try to see things, every issue differently. So I think that helps kind of more or less.
Yeah.
It's so odd, I think, to be very kind of political or no politics and not be, you know, loyal to either party. Like, it usually doesn't go well together. But
no.
I do feel strongly on certain issues. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What are your hills you're going to die on?
What do you mean?
Like, what are the issues you really, really care about?
I mean, fighting foreign policy is huge. It always is. It's always in the news, kind of. But it's a big deal. Number one, like, if we're going to be a country, you know, if we're going to get blown off the map, like, I think that matters more or less.
Yeah, no, not wanting to get bombed is a nice thing to care about.
Yeah, but no one does, really. No one thinks about it, because it's just, like, we're so used to it, you know?
Yeah, it only
happens. Do you know how much fucking, like, intelligence and shit has to go into making sure no one, like, bombs us?
We have that crazy laser defense thing.
That's why I don't care when I hear, like, oh, Pentagon's building up its budget. Like, it doesn't bother me. I know it bothers people. I'm like, whatever. Give them all the money they need. I know, that's, like, not a popular opinion, but I don't really care. Like, if we're going to increase the military by 500,000, just do it. Whatever. No, because I don't want... maybe it's a scared thing. I don't want to get fucking killed, you know?
Yeah, well, living here, we're first...
Oh, yeah. New York City, we are fucking...
We're first.
We're ground zero, no pun intended, but we are... Yeah, we're definitely the first. Who's gonna... What are they gonna fucking attack where? Denver? Like...
Yeah, no, it's here. Maybe L.A.
No, I don't even think L.A.
No, because they...
It's New York
They
City.
Still like movies. Like, we're just the dicks from New York that are gonna get wrecked.
Oh, I did want to talk baseball, too, because I'm a huge Met fan. I know you're a huge Yankee fan.
Cool, that's as good a time as any. Let's transition into baseball.
It's definitely an exciting time to be a Met fan. I'm not just saying because I am one.
It's a disappointing time to be a Met fan.
Why? Because
every time you guys get so close, it's all over. That World Series, I was living with a Met fan at the time, and it almost killed him.
Oh, yeah, I was wildly depressed after that World Series. That was... a very winnable World Series every game they should have won. The first game, they're up in the ninth, they're winning. With one out, Familia gives up a home run, and they end up losing in extras. The second game, they get blown out like 6-1, but not even blown out because they were winning into the seventh. They blow another one. They win game three. Game four was a very winnable game. They were up, and they blew it on an error in the fucking eighth. They were up 3-2 in the eighth. Again, like, they just blew an easy game on an error. And then the game they lost, they're up 2-0 going into the ninth. And their starter, Matt Harvey, who all season, there was like this big question, is he going to go over his innings limit? Ironically, is asking to pitch the ninth. And they should have put their closer in. That's fucking stupid. And I'm still mad about that. And I still think that was a managerial disaster. I don't know how people don't blame Terry Collins more. Leaves the starter in, he gets rocked, they fucking lose. Even if they win, all right, they're down 3-2 going to Kansas City, but it's still something, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
There's no benefit, in my opinion, other than, like, the emotion of it, to leave Matt Harvey in. It doesn't make any sense. You have a great closer who blew one save all season, Familia, who was lights out, who would have saved that game easily.
Yeah, you should stick with what got you there. Like, you don't suddenly
Harvey
change.
Had, yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Last season, I mean, they weren't healthy. It's... really tough. I mean, that's really the only question with them this year, the Mets, is if they're healthy, which they probably won't be, because Wright's already injured, Enzek, Wheeler's already injured.
That sucks.
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees will be decent, but...
The Yankees are going to be great.
This year? They're in a rebuilding stage.
That's different for the Yankees than every other team.
Alright, that's fair.
The Yankees are going to be better than they were last year.
That's not saying much.
They were fine. They were right. They had playoff aspirations right up until the last week of the season.
I mean, I think what George Steinbrenner's kids are doing, more or less, is... I mean, they're trying to actually invest in their farm system, which George didn't do. He didn't have to, really. I mean, he definitely thought short-term more than long-term.
And
he signed these great players to these big contracts. They won every year. Not every year, but they had a great
run. They won four in a row that one time.
Oh, yeah, in the 90s. I think it was 3 out of 4, something like that.
97, 98,
99, 2000. Yeah, something like that. It might have been 96.
Or 96, 98,
99,
2000.
In 97, they almost made it.
And they almost got it in 2001, too.
But a disappointing season for the Yankees is, like, if they lose, like, a wild card playoff game, you know, or they miss the playoffs, but they still go 10 over. Like, that's a really disappointing season for the Yankees.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens. I think there's definitely another Subway World Series in our lifetime.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
I mean, I think the Mets have a great team this year, personally.
The Mets have had great pitching the last few seasons, for sure.
Yeah, but not healthy pitching.
No, but when if they had their whole staff at one point, it would have been crazy. Like, they were having, like, guys who could win 13, 14 games in their 4 and 5 spot.
Yeah, I think Noah Syndergaard's great. I think DeGrom, when he's healthy, is great. I'm not a Harvey fan, personally.
Really? I know Mets fans who fucking worship him.
No, I think what he did with the whole innings limit thing was fucking ridiculous. He made the team look so stupid. Like, they're like, oh, Terry Collins says, oh, he's going to pitch when we need him. And then Matt Harvey goes on TV, like, the same day and says, no, I'm not. If once the inning limits is reached, I'm not going to do it. Like, defying the manager on TV. Like, fucking, I thought that was so stupid. They'd never do that.
That's never good.
And then just wanting to go late into the postseason, even though he's way over his limits anyway, which makes no sense. Like, I don't know. I was just never a big fan. I think he's overrated, too, personally.
Was like, your dad a Mets fan?
Oh, he's huge. He still is, yeah.
That seems to be the biggest way people start rooting for teams.
Yeah. You get born into it. I was 9 when I went to my first Mets game.
Who were they playing, do you remember?
Houston. They won.
Nice. Yeah, everybody remembers.
Alright, so my first Mets game, they beat Houston. It was 2001, but they were bad at the beginning of the year. The next day they beat Houston, too. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I love the fucking Mets. And then they lost the next game after they were winning 4-0. I'm like, they fucking suck. I've had, like, this love-hate relationship with them for...
I think that's most Mets
15
fans.
Years, yeah. They haven't won in my lifetime. I've never seen a Mets World Series, but, I mean, it'd be cool. I've
got 5 Yankees.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, it's what lets me be a Nets fan.
I know Brooklyn Nets fan.
Grew up 25 minutes away from where the New Jersey Nets played.
See, I was never a big basketball fan.
Loved the Nets. The Nets used to be so good. They'd make the finals every year, and they
got
smacked by the Spurs or the Lakers.
Yeah. I was never a big basketball fan. Football, like, I'm a New Orleans fan. You're a Giants fan?
Giants.
I do like the Giants. I know, like, people say you can't like two teams. I do like the Giants, though. So.
The Giants?
But football, you can. There's people that like a lot of teams in football, more or less.
Yeah, especially because there was a point in time when the Giants and Jets were so shitty that a lot of people from this area just didn't give a shit about them at all.
But yeah, I love New Orleans since Katrina. I don't know why. I'm just like the same. Well, the same is the team, not the city. It's like the worst time to start loving the city.
Yeah, but it was more like you like the story of their, like, redemptive Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I never cared for the Jets or Giants because they were... In my opinion, like, they were in New Jersey not my opinion, but they were in New Jersey anyway.
They are Jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
Rutherford, New
exactly.
Jersey.
So I'm like, you know, they're not even really a New York team, so why am I going to, like, root for them? That's how I viewed it. And that, so I wasn't that attached to either of them. I just kind of liked the Giants. And then, yeah, New Orleans, I'm like, holy shit, like, they're playing. It was the year after Katrina when they finally got back to the Superdome and they made that playoff run. I'm like, holy shit, when was the last time a team, like, built up a city? I don't know if that justifies becoming a fan of a team, but that's when I did.
I've heard worse reasons.
Yeah. And I think I always liked Drew Brees, even on San Diego. I thought I always liked Drew Brees because he was so good, but he never, like, said anything, really. He never started anything, so you never knew, like, how good he was. He has an amazing throwing arm, though.
Yeah, some of those seasons were crazy. They had a...
And for someone so short, he's not even 6 foot, Drew Brees. He's fucking unbelievable.
Who'd they beat in that Super Bowl?
The Saints? Indianapolis.
Right.
Yeah, he beat Peyton Manning. I mean, that's like a good... They had the onside kick at halftime.
Oh, yeah!
That's crazy. They were winning at halftime, the Saints. Indianapolis has the ball, and they fucking onside kick it, and they get the ball back. That was, like, one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
But until the Super Bowl this year, what the hell?
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. This whole year...
Was this really more unbelievable than New England-Seattle? That was pretty fucking crazy,
or
too.
Or New York-New England.
Nah, New York, the Giants, New England, that first one was the craziest Super Bowl I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
They were supposed to lose at the Giants. Like,
that was unbelievably cool.
That was,
That was one of the coolest sports things I've ever watched. But this year's World Series was fucking amazing.
It was, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I thought the Cubs were done.
Every game was like extra innings and crazy. All the streaks. Oh, it was
so
much fun. They
were down 3-1, the Cubs. A team that's had more World Series in 108 years. I knew they were going to win. Even though they were down 3-1, I'm like, they're gonna fucking
This was
win.
That year because the fucking Warriors blew it 3-1 to the Cavs.
Yeah. I'm glad. I mean, if you're a fucking fan of a team, they haven't won in 100-something years. And they had a lot of years that were close to Cubs.
Yeah, no, that guy Steve Bartman's life got ruined over that foul ball in 2000.
Yeah, that wasn't his fault, though.
Yes, it was.
Ow, he didn't reach over. It was, the fucking ball was
he
there.
He interfered.
They would have, he was not catching that
ball.
He by
no means deserved to have his life ruined, but that guy could have caught the ball with his hand.
I don't think so. His glove, it didn't even hit his glove, the ball. So
because it hit that guy's hands.
I don't know.
He didn't deserve that.
He did reach into the stands. It wasn't fan interference. They didn't call it fan interference.
I'm just saying, he doesn't deserve to have his life ruined, but
yeah, it's a shitty situation. First of all, if you're anyone, you see a fucking ball coming, you're not going to look like, oh, can he catch it? Like, I'm going to get that ball.
It was the most wrong place, wrong time thing in history.
Literally in history, like. And there were other people that reached for it, and you could see other hands. It literally could have been anyone.
No, I thought of a different... There was this guy, the guy that played the guitar on Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train. The way he died is the worst.
How'd he die?
Okay. His bus got hit by a crashing plane.
Okay, that's pretty bad.
That's insane!
Well, did you see the one... I have one crazy. Did you see with the Josh Hamilton thing?
He threw the ball to the guy?
He threw a ball into the stand. The kid reaches over and dies. He falls to his death.
Yeah, it was like a...
You would think there would be protections, like nets, like something.
Yeah, in the outfield, though, like, I doubt that, like, they thought they needed it. Who was going to jump 25 feet?
You can't blame Josh Hamilton. Like, people throw stuff in the...
No, that's not his fault at all. I mean, I'm sure... How much guilt does Josh Hamilton have?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's a heroin addict and he killed that guy.
Yeah, that would make someone go back to heroin, I feel like.
Yeah, if you don't relapse after killing that guy, that's probably, like...
On the bright side, though, it is a good indicator if he's serious about being sober.
Yeah.
You have to stay sober after that.
That's as good a reason as any to not be sober.
Yeah. That's actually very true. Did we do all the topics?
You have one more.
Do I?
But if we're going to get into the last one, we're going to take another quick break. So
I don't... Wait, hold on, let me look.
We're going to sort this out and be right back. Alright, so sometimes I like to, before the guest brings their last thing, bring up something that I've just am enjoying a ton right now. There's this person on YouTube. His name, he goes by Dog Shit. Huh. I think his name is actually Nathan, but he goes by Dog Shit, and he has pledged to eat one picture of Jason Segel's face every day until Jason Segel eats one of his face. He's up to day, like, 15 now, and he's getting creative. One time he was at an aquarium, one time he was at a sex shop,
yeah.
One time he was standing on a table at a food court, one time...
That's fucking weird.
He's been on a morning news show, and, like, they were trying to ask him questions, and he wouldn't respond, he just kept reading the picture.
Huh.
This guy is my favorite person in the world, and he's getting faster. Like, the first one was, like, 3.5 minutes, now
yeah.
He's got it down to, like, a minute 15.
I gotta watch this.
My favorite one. He puts the picture of Jason Segel in a blender and pours some, like, juice in there. And he puts a lid on top of it, blends it all up. It's this pulpy mess. He pours it into a glass, is about to take a sip, then puts it down and grabs a regular picture and just eats it.
That's amazing. That's so fucking good.
And he claims he's going to keep doing this. I've shown it to a lot of people. It is divisive. My sister is the editor of the newspaper at Villanova, and on day one I found out about this guy. I was like, Deanna, you have to do a story on him, and she refused. And now it's day 15, and she missed the boat. I love this person.
That's fucking
weird. I have no idea how long he's prepared to keep this up.
That's fantastic.
So if you guys want... It's hashtag eat my face Segel.
I gotta look at that, for sure.
I'm sure that he put out a new one today.
Yeah.
I cannot get on.
Yeah, otherwise he's a fucking quitter.
Yeah, no, Dog Shit is the hero that we deserve. So, that is my, that's my recommendation for the week. What is your, number one?
I wanted to talk college life.
College life?
That's why I brought up that dorm room conversation.
Because
we both went away to schools, we both went to very similar schools.
Yeah,
Of neighborhood, like, city, you know.
I toured Quinnipiac.
Yeah, but I heard it's very similar to Marist.
It is.
It's like the same
campus
feel,
life-y
yeah.
kind of stuff. Yeah, and I do live in a dorm room, basically. It's,
yeah,
I do not.
You can't see it, but it does look like a dorm room.
I do not go to college, but I live in a one-room place that has clothes everywhere.
Yeah, and bottles and alcohol, and there's a fucking couple bongs, and or not, depending if he wants people to know.
It just looks like... There's an acoustic guitar. It looks like someone who has not grown up yet lives here, and that is pretty accurate.
Now, you were saying, I'm not changing the subject, but you were saying you could hear the performance in your comedy
club. I can't hear the specifics, but I can hear if someone's killing on a Friday or Saturday night, the laughter.
Awesome.
If I have the window open, that's sometimes some people will tell me there's a good show. I was like, I know, because, like,
yeah,
it doesn't happen often, but if someone's crushing, I can hear the laughter.
Yeah. That's awesome, though. But back to college life. Sorry, I didn't mean to change the subject.
No, this definitely looks like someone with a Milhouse tattoo lives here.
Yeah. No, I do miss, like, my college days. It was so much fucking easier. It was so much simpler, everything. It was just, like, you didn't have to worry about, like, oh, I want to get from, like, point A to point B. You were just, like, surviving. Yeah, you were surviving. No one expected, before you, no one expected shit from you.
It's so true.
Like, obviously more towards graduation people started to, but more or less, like, you're in college, it's like, all right, I'm going to lay easy on this person, like, do anything you want. So you might as well have fun when you're in that period anyway. That's why I, like, went away to school.
Yeah. I joined a comedy troupe my freshman year, and we did, like, improv and sketch.
Yeah.
We did these, like, videos, and so that was, like, the most fun I had in school, because we would just get, like... You just get kind of messed up.
Yeah,
like, shoot videos. Like
my freshman year, second semester, I was in a play, but literally it was all semester. We had to rehearse, and like we just got to like become friends with each other. We go to parties together, and it wasn't like there's a difference between like a high school theater group and one in college. It's like different. In college, everyone's more or less normal, or they're not stereotypes. It was just kind of a cool group, but yeah, that was like so we didn't have any improv groups, but we had a theater group, and it was pretty interesting.
Ours was independent of the theater group hated us because we weren't a part of them. Like, independent from them, and it was like a whole big thing. It was so fun.
Yeah, but fucking, did you ever have any days off in terms of like, did you ever have a day off during the school year, like besides the weekend?
Oh yeah,
I would make my schedule always so I had off Tuesday, Thursday, just because.
And you'd load like you'd just go crazy.
Yeah,
I always had Fridays off. That was my favorite thing ever.
Oh my god, the fucking I had it, but senior year I needed money, so I worked at the school's gym every Friday morning at 6 a.m.
Damn,
hungover every week. Like, did it? Like, I don't think there was one that I wasn't hungover. It was the worst.
Because Thursday night,
because the shift on Friday was 6 to 10 a.m. It's like a quick shift, but it's fucking the worst. And the only people that would go to the gym at the time of the sports, like, you know, the athletes, like, they'd do, like, team workouts early. Yeah, but Thursday night, we would go into New Haven, more or less. New Haven was, like, it's a pretty big city. It's, like, one of the biggest cities in Connecticut. We had, like, shuttles that would run there, more or less, that would pick us up.
Cool.
The university installed them, I guess, because, like, the stop drunk driving, like, they would just have shuttles. And it was, like, the shuttle experience was part of the going out experience, because everyone would be, like, on there, like, 40 different students.
Yeah, just
absolutely fucking shit-faced, like, fights would start, like, I threw up on the shuttle a couple times, and, like, a kid wanted to fight me because it got on his shoes, like, it was just always, like, just a mess.
That's awesome.
I got thrown off once because I fucking mixed a vodka drink in my Hawaiian punch. And it was, like, red, too. It was, like, normal. It looked like Hawaiian punch, and I still got thrown off.
They knew,
like,
right?
This is a fucking
drink. Sure, it's not so hard to point out when someone's, like...
Yeah, well, who would bring Hawaiian punch? Like,
you're, like, dressed up to go out and stuff, and you just have Hawaiian punch. Like, that's kind of a big red flag.
Yeah, but it was a fun time in college. It was just... I just can't believe I fucking survived when I graduated and didn't get killed. Like, I was drunk all the time.
It's a miracle I graduated college, because I was actively being an asshole to my teachers.
Really?
I think I mentioned this story on your podcast. There was, I had, by the end, I hated my teachers so much that I would be actively trying to fuck with them, not really understanding the consequences that come from that. Like, and a smart person would have sucked it up and just, like, shut up and put their head down and finish, but I was as loudly as possible being like, fuck everybody.
Really? Well, I didn't do that, but
I did not like... I don't like authority figures. It's been my whole life. Anybody that's tried to, like, tell me... Teachers, like, my mom will tell you that every single time she's like, don't... My parents hate tattoos. I have three of them. Like...
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Like, that's always my go-to example. They're like, don't do this. It's like, cool, I'm going to go do this. And they listen to this, which is even funnier.
Yeah. My favorite, I think my favorite year had to have been senior year.
Mine was my junior year.
Junior year, I had a, it was really fun, too. We moved campuses junior year, because, like, the juniors stayed on one campus, the underclassmen stayed on another.
Marist was the same way, but we moved off-campus my junior year.
Yeah, we moved my senior year. We moved off-campus, which is crazy, too.
So fun.
We had, like, a huge house. We had a fucking giant backyard. Like, it was, like, a legit... And we kept pretty good care of it. More or less, my roommate for Neat Fruits, I wasn't at all. It was really messy.
Yeah.
But we had a really nice house.
Bobby Sheehan is a Neat Freak, and when he came over here, it looked just like this, and he was, like, having a panic attack.
He seems like he needs, like, he just has that, I don't know. He seems, I didn't even know, I can't believe he went to Plattsburgh, like, that's so random.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, that Bobby Sheehan.
But I feel like to study...
Bobby, I hope you're listening to this.
No, but to study law, you can go to a lot of different schools. It's just weird that you pick Plattsburgh. It's like 8 hours north on the border of Canada. It's always cold, like always freezing. Even in the summer, it's like 60 up there.
Oh, man, I don't know. What was your major? Was
it was film? Yeah, screenwriting.
I wish we could concentrate in screenwriting. Ours was like either.
I was an FBI major, film, video, and interactive media, but my concentration was screenwriting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, the last semester of my senior year, we had to write a full 90 to 100 page script. We had all school year to write it. That was our final project. And it had to be, like, decent. It had to show that it had to be act structured. It had to show it wasn't just bullshit. But yeah, it was like, I had a 96 page script. I never did anything with it about this guy who goes on a cross country trip with his friends, his idiot stoner friends to find his ex-high school girlfriend. But there's, like, these drug lords chasing him because one of them is a closet drug dealer and you don't even know. Like, you know it, but, like, they don't know it.
We had to write one, but I love my screenwriting teacher. He was the only teacher I liked, so I wrote two because I was doing so much work for his. But I wrote one about a guy, there's a kid who runs away from home in the middle of the 80s to try to start a punk band in New York City. It's basically the Bobby Sheehan story.
I don't get off topic, but I am, briefly. But then I want to listen to what you're saying. I haven't known him long. I mean, he's honestly become, like, one of my good friends in comedy in such a quick time.
Because he's
2 months.
Best.
He really is. He's, like, he's just...
Even though I said all those terrible things about him at Fight Club.
Yeah, that's when I faced him. I'm like, fuck, I really don't want to do that. And I called him out, I get it. But I called him out more just, I don't even know, like, just because it was, like, in the moment... But I really didn't want to say anything because he's such a good guy.
Yeah, it's always tough when people are like, it's...
But you guys were like, I mean, you had good jokes. You weren't, like, rough on him. You didn't, like, go after him.
Because I don't like being, like, malicious. Like, I have a joke that I pitched...
Yeah, you aren't, really. You're, like, pretty nice about it.
I'm pretty
malicious. Like.
I'd like to be, but I feel so bad. Like, I have one joke about Joe that I legitimately, like,
what
feel
is it?
Bad saying. Because it's not about him. It's about his girlfriend.
What is it? Is that him? He's not going to listen, I promise.
Other people might, though. Is it worth it to be... I basically just have a joke that's more like, I also shit on his girlfriend who's not a comedian and is like...
Well, I don't get what's the joke.
It's the one where he won't find anyone as ugly as him.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I know, but it's just I feel bad because it's like, she didn't sign up for me to say some shit.
You don't
want to
attack the family. It's all right. I feel like Joe, there's so much material, you don't even have to go after his girlfriend.
Like. That's what I thought, too, but, like, I've been, like, combining them. Like, I combined the Patriots and the Trump one into one thing, and, like...
No, I know what you mean, yeah. Yeah, he's a very... He's...
Or, like you said, I pitched you one, and you were like, oh, other people have done that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. It's fun pitching roast jokes to people, like, and then they pitch theirs to you, and it's...
Yeah.
It's a lot easier... For me to, like, reword someone else's joke than my own. Like, I have a problem doing it.
You can definitely...
Like, if someone tells me a roast joke, like, oh, yeah, just word it this way, it's easier. But for me, it's like, oh, fuck, how do you do that? I think it's kind of like the attachment to it, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to see it with fresh eyes.
Yeah. We didn't have anything like that in college, like roast joke writing or anything.
Oh, no, neither did we. That would have been...
If you're really, really, really good at it, there it's definitely, like, there is a narrow path for roast joke writing. You can make it on, like...
It's the fast track to success right now.
Yeah, it really is. It's becoming such, not just Comedy Fight Club, just roast in general.
Comedy Central has roast tournaments like their sports now. And comedians watch them like
And I think
sports.
It's going to grow. I think it's going to get bigger. Because it's a very fun,
it might be the first
thing.
Comedy sport. Like it
it's
might be,
really fun.
It might be its own sport at a certain point.
And it really kind of almost shows you like a human psyche. It's like, what is this person capable of? Because anyone could go on, not anyone, but like it's easier to go on stage and be weird and say like weird stuff. But like roast jokes have to be smart to be good. Like that's the thing.
Yeah, I think I heard you say this once. I think where you want to be like you want other people to be like I couldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, I can see it, but I can't think of it, and that's a problem. You see so many roast jokes that are just too on the nose. Like I was telling you on the Connor Cregan joke against Menno Fernandez. It's like, all right, you look at Menno, what do you kind of think of it? And he's, you know, he's not going to listen to this, I don't think.
Probably not.
Anyway, you think of him, he's like, he doesn't come off as really, he's Hispanic, but he's like, you could say that he doesn't act very Hispanic, he's very, like, clean cut. You could almost say he's, like, kind of gay or something, if you wanted to. So the joke was like, shouldn't you be getting called gay by your cousins at an outdoor family reunion? Now, no one's... It's a great joke. No one's ever seen that happen to anyone before. That's not what makes it funny. It's the idea that you could envision it. There's a reality to it. Because Hispanics don't really have this, like, stereotype is they don't act the way he acts. He acts, like, really white. So, that's a really good joke, kind of. You want people to just interpret what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because anyone can just get it on the nose.
Absolutely. Yeah, you want them to, like... They have to immediately be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, they also can't delay and think about it. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's for sure an interesting thing.
It is. We were talking about college. Like,
yeah, I know. I was just trying to figure out a way to get, like, circle back to that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I do miss the college days.
It's so easy. And all your friends are, like, so close to you. Like, there are certain parts of it that I don't miss going to class.
College, you could actually pick up women without, like, just going out. Like, every night was, like, another opportunity. Where it's, like, now it's, like, different in the real world.
Yeah, you have to pay a lot of money now.
Exactly. Now it didn't fucking matter. Like, it's so fucking weird. We had, like, 5 or 6 bars that we went to consistently. That was it.
Us too.
Yeah. And different nights were different bars,
yep.
More or less. And, like, some nights we have 2 bars, and they'd be like, oh, are they going to this place or this place?
Yeah.
Like, but more or less it was...
Us, too.
Like, we had this bar called Dick's by us. It was really called Andale's. It was, like, a shitty, like, fucking wooden building. The owner was this, like, massively overweight Mexican guy named Roberto. He was, like, 300-something pounds. He had, like, this, like, ponytail. But it was, like, it was not a good bar by any respect, but it was packed every Thursday night. And there were better bars in the area, but Thursday night people went to, like, Dick's. Like, that was just what you did, you know?
Yeah.
It was just, like, one of those things. So, but then you could go on a Saturday night and there wouldn't be a stall in there. Like, that's just the way it worked, like, my school. Like, it was very, you knew what nights you were going to certain places.
Damn.
Yeah. Like, we had a place, Anchi's, we went to. It was, like, a strictly 21 and over bar. Like, it was a college bar, but it was, they were, like, known for being tough. Like, I got my ID taken away there. When I was a junior, like, they were known for being tough on fakes. Like, so senior year, Friday night, everyone went there. It had, like, an outdoor. It had a backyard. It had, like, a deck in the backyard. You could go upstairs. The basement was, like, just the bar. Like, you just got drinks, you talked. There was a dance floor upstairs, like, a big dance floor upstairs. That's where, like, you went to, like, hook up and smash and shit. And then there was...
Smash?
I don't know. You didn't use that term?
And then the backyard
was like, if you really wanted to socialize, there was a bar back there too.
Is that more smashing?
No, the smashing was upstairs. There were like stories of people getting like head in like the bathroom, like that was like a thing.
Ew, that's so grimy.
I know, but it was the Friday night spot. Any other night, no one would be there. But Friday night, we all went there. I mean, and then Saturday, there was this club called Toads in New Haven. It was like another sketchy. It was just like it was just for dance. It was like a club. It wasn't.
Yeah,
they had a bar in the back. They had bars, like actually 3 different bars within the club.
But it was for dancing.
Yeah, that's where everyone went. And then senior year, we were all 21, so we would go in the back. There was like this back area where people would go called the Lily Pad, more or less. And like everyone, all the seniors just hang out there. There was some dancing, but it was it was kind of hard to explain, because we were all crammed back there. I don't really know what the appeal of it was. I think just we were gone from the underclassmen who were on the dance floor, but pretty interesting. But Saturday, everyone lived there. Like, that was, like, I don't know if your school was the same.
Yeah, no, same way. Saturday night was called Mahoney's. It was by the train station.
Was it, like, a club or a bar?
It was a bar that they moved all the tables out of at night.
Oh, it was dancing and stuff?
Yeah, no, everything was about dancing. Paris was full of the most basic fucking human beings you could imagine.
Quinnipiac, too, though. It was all... Yeah, it was pretty basic.
It was pretty bad. It was, like, the preppiest fucking
loser. Yeah, it was no... Yeah, there was no diversity in my school. It was just the same.
If you saw anybody that was, like, high, like taller than 6'2", or, like, black at all, you'd be like, oh, you're cool.
It was that way. I mean, politically, it was pretty in the middle. Like, it wasn't, like, a very political...
Oh, my God, Paris was Trump country like a mother.
Was it really?
I graduated before then, but I had a friend that still goes there, and he was like, dude, I'm going to kill myself. Like,
it's really conservative.
Yeah.
See, my school was, like, right down the middle.
It's nothing but, like, kids whose parents are, like, really wealthy.
Yeah, but that's my school, too, but it wasn't as political. That's weird.
Apparently, it was Trump country like a motherfucker, which sucks. Marist, their marching band played the inauguration.
That's true, but it also, I think, sucks if it's too much on the other side. Like, think of all the comics, like, who post about they hate Trump. It's just annoying
as fuck.
On the other side. Yeah.
There's no good way to do it. It just sucks that my stupid college had to be involved.
Yeah. I don't think my school said anything about the election. It was like, because it's just like very down.
Well, Quinnipiac and Marist are always fighting because we both have the polls.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Marist just took it. We're the poll Good Morning America uses now, so suck it.
That's it. I knew some of the kids that did the polls in my school. I don't know how they were so...
One time, in the Marist poll, one of the questions one night, I never worked there, but one of my...
I knew the Polling Institute. Like, I've been there before. It's a weird fucking... It's off campus. It's, like, up this giant hill. Like,
they paid those kids pretty well, though. That was, like, a
stupid Yeah, you
job.
Got, like, $14 an hour.
One of the questions they asked once was they had to call people that were older than 84 and ask them how long they thought they had to live.
Oh, well,
and
that's
different. They said the whole night they would be, like, on the phone with, like, crying people. Like, it was, like, the most sadistic...
No, ours was just, like, stupid shit, like, I don't even know, like, political and whatnot.
Ours, that was that, too.
So that was a big work-study job, was the Polling Institute.
That was the biggest one for us.
My work-study, I did the gym I worked at. It was fucking the most boring job ever.
Yeah, you probably just had to sit there.
That's it. And, like, people would, like, punch their, we had cue cards, they'd just punch their number. And, like, once a day, we'd have to clean, like, the shit. Like, we'd have to clean up and whatnot. I would do doubles there, like, 8 hours, fucking sitting there with nothing to do. You do your homework, and then that's it.
That sounds terrible.
Pretty bad. I need money when I was in school.
I'd
get, like, $140 every 2 weeks, or, like, $130. Like, a big check was, like, $165 every other week.
But that's great in college. Like, that's, like...
Oh, yeah, you get $165
like
in college.
Like, a week of drinking.
Yeah, exactly. I was always fucked up in school. I was always drinking. Not, like, in, like, a dangerous way, but, like, I spent all my money on alcohol.
In, like, a college way, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a little more, but whatever. There was...
I had a girlfriend. I had a shit-ass thing, and my senior year, I drank like a motherfucker to cope with it. It was...
Oh, my goodness. Senior year, I remember doing the count. I was fucked up 22 days, the first 22 days of senior year. 18 from drinking, 3 from weed, and I did shrooms. Like, I didn't drink any shrooms one day.
Oh,
I was fucked up 22 days to start. We started, like, August 20-something. It was to, like, mid-September. Every night I was fucked up.
Everybody
I'd go to work, like, drunk. I would just fucking... That's all we did. Like, that's all we pretty much did at our school. What else would you do? Like, it wasn't... You know, we're not in New York City. Like, there's not, like, a bunch of stuff we can do. There's a few other bars. That's it.
Ours was the same way. It was the same thing.
It's the same setup, yeah. It's like a small campus. Everyone knows each other.
Which I hated. I hated
that. It was whatever. You would always see someone you knew from fucking, like... If you walked from one end to the other, you were guaranteed to see, like, 2 or 3 people you knew.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that by the end. I was like...
My freshman year, I had 7 rooms. It was 8 of us. 4 different bedrooms, but a common room, and 4 different rooms. Fucking 8 of us.
That's gotta be cool, though, because you get to meet so many
people. We roomed together 4 years.
All of you guys?
No, we ended up weeding it out.
It was, like, one guy who sucked.
It was so fucking weird, the way they did the setup. So, we had 8 people freshman year. Sophomore year, there was this dorm complex called Hill, which everyone wanted. It was a fucking... Because there were 4 different dorms, types of dorms to live in, and you got picked by lottery. It was literally just a lottery. So I got number 36 out of fucking 2,000 students, which is obviously amazing. Like, we were going to get that. But the thing about Hill is there was only 7 people to a room, so we had to get rid of someone. Think of how awkward that is.
That sucks.
Luckily for us, one of the guys we lived with was from Connecticut, so we ended up just commuting anyway. So it took the burden off of it.
Every year at school.
And then junior year, there was York Hill, which is a different campus. It's like across the street and like 20 blocks down.
Mm-hmm.
6 people. So we had to pick out of a hat. And then what ended up happening is it was kind of like 2 people ended up leaving who all were already rooming together, 2 of our roommates, and then we ended up picking up someone else. So there were 6 people, and then when we got the house, senior year, it was 5 people. But we stayed close with the other 2 guys, you know what I mean?
That's cool. Every year at housing time, people, like, friendships would, like, fall apart.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was horrible.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But it was pretty crazy. It's been 3 years since I graduated. It's pretty nuts to think about. Almost 3 years.
I graduated in May. It already feels like forever
ago. Oh, it's been a year almost?
Yeah, it'll be a year in May.
That's pretty cool.
It's been interesting. This year's felt like it's gone by faster than any year in my whole life, because I've been doing, like, the second I graduated, it was like, hit the fucking ground on comedy.
Yeah, I was about to say, your comedy's like a huge part of your life, right?
Oh my God, it's all I do.
I've grown really to love it. I really have. I didn't always. I'm really starting to grow to love it.
It's my favorite thing. I love all the, like, it's every part of it, even the shitty parts. Like, I
really
enjoy the...
It's just an experience. I think last week when I did Climate, I was just at some pizzeria before, like, eating alone. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like such a fucking comic right now.
Yeah.
it's just an interesting feeling. It is a very, in a lot of ways, it is a very lonely thing, though, because... I mean, you have people that you're friends with, but really you're the only one that gives a shit about your comedy. No one really else. People are like, oh, that was really good. Like, you know, you're doing a good job. But no one really gives a fuck about your comedy. Like, you're the only one.
Yeah, I think that's why all comics are mostly friends with other comics, is because they're the only other ones that get that, like...
Yeah, it is like a survival of the fittest mentality a little bit.
Yeah.
But no one will ever say that. That's the thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, everybody would fuck over everybody for, like, better shit, but...
Like, fucking Daniel Parapan, who's honestly one of my favorite comics that we know, like, in that
one
weird group.
One of the funniest... We have talked one time.
He is so fucking funny.
But his Facebook and Instagram make me laugh so
hard.
His
Twitter, too, is great. He had one Facebook status where, you know, where you do, like, me, friend, like, the person talking?
Yeah.
Like, right, so he goes, like, me, fucking... I miss the days where I used to have friends. Other comedian was like the title of the guy. Other comedian was like, what do you mean? I'm your friend. Like, you have friends. And then Daniel writes, me. No, I mean friends, not people who would kill me for a TV credit. Other comedian. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But it's so fucking right. Like we could have all be friends in comedy, but we would never give, no one would give up a spot for someone else.
Oh, fuck no. Are you crazy?
Like, if someone said, oh, like, I love Bobby, if someone said it's between you and him, you could be on, like, Comedy Central's whatever, like, if you, like, I'm not gonna think, no, give it to Bobby, like.
Fuck that.
That could be my last shot, you know? Like, that's the thing about comedy, like.
Yeah, it is isolating.
Yeah. But it's fucking crazy. But we are friends, too, but it's, like, it's almost like in comedy you have, like, limited friendships with people, you know?
Yeah, like, you can have really close friends, too, but
yeah.
There is always that thing in the back of your head where it's, like, if it does come down to me and you, I will, with
And
no
think of how many comics you know who were friends that hate each other now. I feel like I hear about
I don't know, but I'm not in it enough to know about all that kind of, like...
I mean, I've heard a few different stories.
I'm just starting to get to that point where I'm, like... Because I don't know a ton of people who have quit yet. Like, none of my good friends have left.
Yeah. But, since we're name dropping, you know, that's pretty crazy about Scott Rubin. I mean, he really seems like he's becoming a villain of, like,
oh,
the
my
comedy
God.
Scene.
Dude, I was sitting up
I've been
the bar
hearing
tonight.
More and more shit about him, to the point where when you brought it up that he's not a good host, I wasn't even, like, surprised.
It's just, I didn't even see it happen tonight. It's just, as I'm sitting up there, when, like, 7 different people come up and tell me, like, oh my God, this is unacceptable, it's like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, that is pretty nuts.
I mean, there's an Instagram story out there right now where he's, like,
I didn't like what's her name did. I'm not even gonna say her name, but, like, when she did the Instagram story about, like, human garbage, I think that kind of goes too far a little bit. That's really bad. But then again, I wasn't there. So
he was being a dick. And
maybe that's why.
This is like the fifth
time. Because that would be far to go if someone was just doing bad. But if he was being like a dick.
And it's like a repeated pattern. It wasn't like.
See, I haven't done a Buddha Mike climate in a little while now.
There too
it's
much.
It's been maybe a month. I don't know.
I'm trying to break away from there.
Yeah, I like doing other. I love the 6 o'clock lantern mic during the week. I like hosting.
So great! I love that mic.
I feel like there's real talent at that mic for some reason. I don't know why.
It's a mic where people like that are actually trying to like do shit.
I love host. I've hosted it only twice, but I loved it both times.
Yeah, that's. I want to go to that more.
And there's no restrictions. Like, no one's telling you what to say and what to do. It's just like, hey, can you do this mic? Can you host it? Sure. And that's it.
Yeah, it's perfect.
But what are some of your favorite comedy venues in terms of performing at?
New York Comedy Club.
It's all right.
I love this. When the room is full.
The Stand is great. You're saying the Stand?
New York Comedy Club, The Stand.
The Stand is great.
Those are my two favorites, probably. I end up at the stupid Climate Lounge too much.
I'm not a huge fan of Climate.
That's my gym. I'll try new material there because it's the easiest room in the city. Like, people that do...
Oh, yeah, it's very easy to kill a Climate.
Yeah,
I've had very few bad sets.
It's the easiest room in the city, so you could just try... Like, when you try new shit and you just need to hear how it sounds out loud, that's what that's for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, if you do great there, you can't call yourself a good comic.
No.
It's the easiest room in the fucking city.
Yeah. Exactly, because it attracts non-comics. Like, that's the thing. Like, it attracts different people.
That's why I always feel like if I do well at Stand Up New York, that's how I know it.
Well, think about Climate is you could go there and not go for comedy. Like, think of who's going to go to the fucking Grizzly Pear? Like, if you're going to go for comedy.
Yeah, exactly. The Pear is a tough room, but, like, you need
it. It is. I've done pretty well there. I mean, I don't bomb that much anymore. Like, I don't, like, totally do bad. I mean, I did pretty bad 2 weeks ago at Greenwich. I don't even know why. It's so weird because I've been doing like the recurring bits more or less, and I didn't really look at it for a few days, and then I went up at Greenwich and I didn't remember everything.
Uh-huh.
And then I did again at the Lantern after reviewing, and I did a lot better. I mean, it's definitely what I do is I write everything in a notebook and then I take a picture of it, and then I look at it just to kind of all I need to do is just know what to talk about next, and I can do fine from there.
Yeah,
like I felt more or less pretty good with how things went at Broadway the other night. I was virtually pretty happy. There were a couple things I forgot to mention that I wanted to, and I substitute them with things that weren't as funny, but that's a tough room to tell, too, because it's just, like, everyone's laughing, like, no matter what, pretty much. Like, anyone could have went up there and did halfway decent.
Yeah, there were a lot of regular people there.
Yeah, which I love. I love performing. It's like some people are comics, and other people aren't.
Yeah, comics is an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah. All right. So, do you have plugs? We're both at Fight Club Sunday night.
Sunday night, different opponents, but we're both the favorites to win, I would say. We have that.
I hope so.
Obviously, you can find me on this podcast. You can find me on my other podcast, The Midnight Snack. Not my other. Why did I say my other? This isn't my podcast. You can find me on The Midnight Snack, which I host with... Hello, comedian Joanna Ruma.
Joanna Ruma, who's going to take a fucking cock slapping when I get him at Fight Club.
Most likely. You can find my web series, Jim vs. the Week, on YouTube. That's pretty much it. Those are my main plugs.
You have like a Twitter, Facebook, you want people
my
to...
My Twitter's at Pontello8881. Don't ask me why, because I don't know. And my Facebook's just my name, James Pontello, actually.
Yeah. Do you like James or Jim?
Towards Jim.
Yeah? I've heard people call you both.
I feel like Jim Pontello sounds more like a comic. James is just more of a...
Alright, cool. So this has been... I'll change the thing to Jim Pontello.
Yeah, I am starting to like... It sounds just better. I don't know. It sounds like more personal.
Alright, cool. Alright, yeah. I'm Anthony Passaretti on Facebook, AnthonyPass94 on Twitter. Check out Comedy Fight Club, Lovecraft Bar, Avenue B, 10 p.m. Yeah. Sunday nights. We're going to be there. Thank you for doing this, dude.
No, I had an amazing... It's nice to actually like be on a podcast, not be hosting it. All that fucking like that pressure is off, more or less.
Yeah, it's my fault if it goes bad.
Because, obviously, you know because you're hosting this now, but it's like when you're hosting, it's like I have to keep this person entertained, or if... of your guests, it's just kind of like, well, fuck it. Even if I do bad, they invited me.
Exactly.
Like, as bad as it sounds. But no, this is very interesting. I like the one-on-one. I'm not used to the one-on-one.
Yeah. I heard a thing from Bill Burr once where he's like, do the podcast alone, because then if someone else gets disinterested, it's just you.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
All right, man. Thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thank you. Keep listening, guys.
Subscribe. Night Cafe. What's up? All right. See you guys later.
Oh, that was awesome.